When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
I have seen the ruins of Rome. I've been in the igloos of Nome. I have gone to Moscow, it's very gay. Well, anyway, on the 1st of May, I have seen Rangoon and Soho, and I like them more than so-so. But when there's a moon, goodbye, Rangoon. Allô, Montmartre, allô. King has reached New Orleans jazz. Paris, Beirut, the sunshine, that's all he does. Paris, Constantinople has Turkish bass. And Athens, that lovely debris. Carlsbad may have a spot, but for ooh-la-la, you come with me. Carlsbad is where you're cured after you have toured. Paris.
I'm just a Broadway baby, walking off my tired feet, pounding 42nd Street to be in a show. Broadway, baby, learning how to sing and dance, waiting for that one big chance to be in a show. Gee, I'd like to be on some marquee, all twinkle and lights, a spark to pierce the dark from Battery Park, way up to Washington Heights. Someday, maybe, all my dreams will be repaid. Hell, I'd even play the maid to be in a show. Say, Mr. Producer, yeah, I'm talking to you, sir. I don't need a lot, only what I've got, plus a tube of grease paint on a follow spot. I'm just a Broadway baby. If I stick it long enough, I may get to strut my stuff, working for an Iceman like a Ziegfeld or a Weissman in a great big Broadway.
Boom. Astute listeners will recognize that as the voice of Ethel Schutte, who haunted the Winter Garden in the original production of Follies in the 1970s. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and I'm thrilled to have as my guest today, I would say the consummate Broadway baby, Jennifer Ashley Tepper, who's director of programming at that wonderful Boat 54 Below, but has also just written a terrific book that I think will be thrilling to all of our listeners called Untold Stories of Broadway. Welcome to Broadway to Main Street, Jennifer.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, tell our listeners where we first met.
You know, you were one of my greatest teachers and mentors at NYU, and now we're back here at NYU today, which is wonderful.
Recording today's show.
Yes.
And look at what's become of you. You wrote this amazing book interviewing how many people total?
204 to be exact.
Oh, holy moly. Mm-hmm. That was like the entire group of people who came to see A Doll's Life.
It was.
The entire audience. And we're going to talk about four theaters that were particularly magical, because your book is broken into backstage stories of the great theaters on Broadway. And you're only up to volume one.
Yes.
But we're going to do four of the, eight theaters in volume one?
Yeah.
So the Winter Garden, one of the great theaters of all time and home to a show that you particularly love, Follies. Tell us a weensy bit about the ghosts, as it were, of the Winter Garden, I mean, metaphorically speaking.
Sure. I did get to interview John McMartin, who was the original lead in Follies, as well as Ted Chapin and Hal Prince, the director-producer. So there's a lot of great Follies anecdotes in the book. A lot of them speak about really feeling like the ghosts of the Ziegfeld Follies were there at the Winter Garden with them.
So sort of a meta. If any show was meta, it was probably Follies.
Yes, definitely. John McMartin also talks about it being the hardest role of his career because it felt so real to be playing a role where the actor had to go up on his lines, so to speak, and he would have the actor's nightmare about that moment, feeling it was very real. So a lot of meta moments in Follies.
Now, the Winter Garden has always traditionally been home to star performers. Certainly it was built for Al Jolson, and there's a runway, and you have a great story about that in your book. I love that. But one of the greatest stars ever among Angela Lansbury and many others is Barbra Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a particular anecdote about Streisand's final performance in Funny Girl.
Yes, this is one of my favorite stories in the book. Larry Fuller, who was a chorus boy at the time but went on to be a Broadway choreographer, brought his roommate at the time, snuck him in the stage door, his roommate named Michael Bennett, so he could see the final performance of Funny Girl, because Barbra sang Fanny Bryce's big number, My Man, as the curtain call encore. Which everyone who was present just says was one of those theatrical moments you never forget for your whole life.
Wow. Well, fans will know that they wrote a sort of faux version of that called The Music That Makes Me Dance, a great song in its own right. But let's all pretend we're at the last performance. Here's a recording of My Man by Babs herself from a concert around 2000. But let's see if it sends shivers down our spines.
Even though this next song is a classic victim song, I first sang it in 1965 as a tribute to Fanny Bryce. So forgive me if I break my own rules and sing it tonight. Oh, my man, I love him so. You'll never know. All my life is just spare. He takes me in his arms, the world is bright, all around. What's the difference if I say I'll go away, when I know I'll come back on my knees someday? Whatever my man is, I am his forevermore. It cost me a lot, but there's one thing that I've got, it's my man. Cold and wet, tired, you bet, but all that I soon forget with my man. He's not much for looks, and no hero out of books. He's my man. Two or three girls has he that he likes as well as me, but I love him.
That was Babs herself singing Fanny Bryce's signature tune, My Man, referencing a great rendition she did live on stage at the Winter Garden Theater. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street on WPPB 88.3 FM, and I'm here with Jennifer Ashley Tepper, who's going to share with us some untold stories of Broadway. Now, the Winter Garden we think of as being this home for mammoth hits like Cats and Mamma Mia and 42nd Street, but we had a few short-lived bombs there. Can you tell us about our next one?
Yes, it's a nice tie-in because I read about how before Follies, the theater was empty for a while. Everyone who worked on Follies talks about that. It was empty because Georgie, the musical based on Georgie Girl, closed very quickly after four performances right before that. And it was one of those rare musicals based on movies before the time that that became such a huge trend. And people didn't like it for all the reasons that people do like it today, which I think is so interesting. People didn't want to see something they saw on the movies repeated on stage. They wanted something new. One of the interesting things about Georgie is that it was written by a very, very young Carol Bayer, later Carol Bayer Sager, as well as Tom Mankiewicz, who went off to Hollywood, became a very successful screenwriter.
So, Superman 2.
Yes. There were a lot of successful writers.
So now, how did you get this sneaky little recording?
One of the people I interviewed for the book, Michonne Peacock, who is, you know, a Broadway gypsy who was in many shows, understudied Cheetah Rivera many times. She was in Georgie, and I kind of dug this up with her help. She was in it, and she told me some stories about it for the book.
Well, you dug it up, and I dig it. So let's hear There's a Coming Together from the score to Georgie at the Winter Garden.
Me, you know we're feeling fine now. She, you know she said she's mine now. We've got a good thing going. Can't you see it's love that's showing you? You know I never saw you look so very good before. You're more than all that blue sky weather. It sure is getting better than ever. There's a coming together every single day. Don't you know that? There's a coming together, and that's the way it's gonna stay. But I can feel it happening, and I can feel us getting should have been right from the very beginning. There's a coming together every single day. Don't you know that? There's a coming together, and that's the way it's gonna stay. Love, it's written on their faces, fine in the strangest places. Sunlight shining down upon them, fountain pouring love right on them. Watch the way he's looking at. Every single day, don't you know that? There's a coming together, and that's the way it's gonna stay. Love me, love you, love me, feel you, girl, you gotta be loving you, girl. You know that there's a coming together, and that's the way it's gonna stay. Hey, there's a coming together every single day. Don't you know that there's a coming together, and that's the way it's gonna stay. Coming together, 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 gonna stay. Coming together.
Well, we're winding down the demo recording from a musical called Georgie that played the Winter Garden, and now we're going to go across Broadway to the Richard Rodgers Theater, but it wasn't always the Richard Rodgers Theater, was it, Jennifer?
It was the 46th Street where you saw your first Broadway show.
Yes, we'll get to that in a moment. But it was renamed the Richard Rodgers Theater in 1990.
Yes.
So why don't we hear one of the few, maybe the only Richard Rodgers score to play that theater?
Yes, it was.
Which is a musical I love, and I think you must love too, called Do I Hear a Waltz? Music by Richard Rodgers and lyrics by who again? Who
was his name? Mr. Stephen Sondheim.
Stephen Sondheim. And we'll hear the voice of James Dibas? Dibas is the young boy in it who went on to do a lot of Prince Sondheim shows. So, from Do I Hear a Waltz, the opening number, Someone Woke Up, Elizabeth Allen, music by Richard Rodgers. I think that's the kind of song our guest Jennifer Ashley Tepper would sing about 46th Street.
Totally.
We're talking about the 46th Street Theater, a grand theater where I saw my first musical, 1776, not in 1776, but in 1969 at a matinee. And I'll never forget climbing up to the balcony, and I still have the souvenir program. So let's hear from that original cast recording, William Daniels, Rex Everhart, who subbed for the cast recording, and Betty Buckley, who went on to become a huge star herself. He plays the violin.
Oh, he never speaks his passions, he never speaks his views. Whereas other men speak volumes, The man I love is mute. In truth, I can't recall being wooed with words at all. Even now, he plays the violin. He tucks it right under his chin, and he bows, oh he bows, for he knows, yes he knows, that it's high, 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 diddle diddle, twixt my heart, Tom and his fiddle, my strings run strong, high, 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 I am undone, I hear his violin, and I get that feeling within, and I sigh, oh I sigh, he draws near, very near, and it's high, 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 diddle, diddle, and goodbye to the fiddle, my strings run strong, high, 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 I'm always undone.
Well, that's a cheery piece of news.
That girl never quit anything.
What the hell happened?
I don't know. I don't know.
That was from the Hot Score to In the Heights, which played the Richard Rodgers Theater. Jennifer, you interviewed Lin-Manuel Miranda quite a bit for your book, Untold Stories of Broadway, and he had such a, not rags to riches, but the ultimate sort of Horatio Alger Broadway story.
Yes, it's actually, he talks so much about In the Heights, about the roles that the doormen played and the ushers and everybody that came together to make that musical. It's kind of a microcosm of what the whole book is, in a way.
And he was rehearsing West Side Story, and he had seen The Cape Man, and he thought he would never have a show on Broadway because the Puerto Rican quotient was all used up.
Yes, there's a great, I love this story about how The Cape Man affected him so much because it was so many of his Latino heroes putting on a show, and then it, you know, failed so spectacularly. And it made him realize, you know, I still can write a show about Latinos, but I don't want to have them be gun, knife wielding, you know, criminals.
Drug addicts and things, yeah. And he wrote In the Heights,
yes.
A great show for which he won the Tony.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Jennifer Ashley Tepper, and we're talking about Untold Stories of Broadway here on Broadway to Main Street. We've gone back to Broadway today on 88.3 FM Peconic Public Broadcasting. And your book is full of such great stories, and one of my favorites doesn't really involve one of the theaters we're talking about. I guess it involves the Virginia, which was the Ant. Was it something before?
It was the Virginia when
the
this
Anta.
Story happened.
Okay.
It was Anta before that.
So tell us a condensed version of the Randy Graff story.
Sure. So Randy Graff, it's, you know, she talks in the book, but also Frank Vlasnik, who was the audition monitor for her audition for City of Angels, also tells the story about her coming in and charming Cy Coleman and David Zippel and the creative team by walking into the theater, which was covered in some plastic, and saying, oh, this looks like my Aunt Judy's house. And then being asked to sing a number and pulling out Nobody Does It Like Me, which was very much the same type of song Cy Coleman would later put in the musical for her character.
Right, so he wrote it originally with Dorothy Fields for Seesaw.
Yes.
So we'll hear Randy Graff do a duet of her own devising of the song that got her the job in City of Angels and the song she sang in City of Angels.
Yes.
Take it away, Randy.
Big loud mouth, I'm always talking much too free. If you go for tact and manners, better stay away from me. If there's a wrong way to get a guy, the right way to lose a guy, I don't need a map. I naturally head for the dead end street. You can always count on me. I'm caught in a trap when joy is approaching, then I retreat. I'm at home with misery. I've been the other woman since my puberty began. I crashed the junior prom and met the only married man. I'm always on tap for romance or chocolate that's bittersweet. You can always count on me. If there's a say it, a wrong way to play it. Nobody does it like me. There's a wrong way to do it, a right way to screw it up. Nobody does it like me. And so I try to be a lady. I'm no lady. I'm a fraud. And when I talk like I'm a lady, what I sound like is a fraud. If there's a wrong way, a right way to be a fool. Nobody does it like me. I go for the riffraff who's treating me so-so. When I can play the second fiddle, I'm a virtuoso. I should be playing for a wedding band, but there are no wedding rings attached. Though you can look it up. Nobody does it like me. I choose the kind who cannot introduce the girl he's with. There are lots of smirking motel clerks who call me Mrs. Smith, but I made a name with any psychiatrist who explores chronic codependency. Nobody does it, nobody does it better. Now you can always count on me. Like me. I swallowed my gum. Me.
And no one sells a Cy Coleman song like Randy Graff. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street. And today, with Jennifer Ashley Tepper, we're telling some untold stories of Broadway. Jennifer's latest book goes through many of the stories of the great Broadway theaters. And one of the great Broadway theaters we don't get to appreciate anymore, sadly, is the Mark Hellinger, which is now the Times Square Church. And it was the home of one of the greatest hits of all time, which of course was My Fair Lady. And I'm going to play the moment in My Fair Lady that by all accounts electrified the audience, a song you would never hear in a hit list, which we'll get to in a second, as a pop song, but by all accounts is one of the great moments of the American musical theater. The Rain in Spain, the original Broadway cast of My Fair Lady at the Mark Hellinger Theater.
Quit, Professor Iggins. Quit, Professor Iggins. Hear our plea or payday, we will quit, Professor Iggins. A, not I, O, not our, pounding, pounding in our brain. A, not I, O, not our, don't say right, say rain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Again?
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
I think she's got it. I think she's got it.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
By George, she's got it. By George, she's got it. Now, once again, where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
And where's that soggy plain?
In Spain, in Spain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
In Hartford, Hereford and Hampshire,
hurricanes hardly happen. How kind of you to let me come.
Now once again, where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
And where's that blasted plain?
In Spain, in Spain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the
indeed, the biggest hit at the Mark Hellinger Theater. That became a favorite theater for Alan J. Lerner, didn't it, Jennifer?
It did. In addition to My Fair Lady, of course, he had Coco there.
Now, Coco was, you wouldn't think of Katharine Hepburn as the person you would go to first to be a leading lady in a musical, but I know Lerner wanted her very badly for this musical about Coco Chanel. But she made some demands of her own, didn't she?
Yes. One of my favorites was the Gershwin, which was then the Urus, was being built across the street at the time. So there was a lot of construction. And during her 11 o'clock 9 o'clock number, that was the one time the jackhammers had to stop during the matinees. So she would come out and yell that they should be quiet, and they finally were, but just for her 11 o'clock number.
Amazing. Well, this is that 11 o'clock number from Coco. Supposedly the album was released and then pulled back from distribution because she didn't like the way it sounded.
Wow,
she thought she sounded like Donald Duck, and they remastered it. Well, for those of you who ever wondered what Katharine Hepburn sounded like in an Alan J. Lerner, Andre Previn musical, this is your chance. Put those jackhammers down. We're hearing a song from Coco.
Is this a sample of the joyous state of motherhood? A taste of what maternal happiness is? If this is a reward, then I'm grateful to the Lord that all I have been pregnant with is dresses.
Good night, mademoiselle.
Good night, mademoiselle.
Good night, mademoiselle. Good night, mademoiselle.
I'm glad I live alone without humanity, safe from all the dangers of devotion. I've a selfish interest in how they cover up their skin. Beyond that, they can all jump in the ocean.
Good night, mademoiselle.
Good night, mademoiselle.
Good night, mademoiselle.
Thank God there's no one always supervising me. No one with a way of tenderizing me.
Good night.
Good night, mademoiselle.
Good night, mademoiselle.
No one after whom I'm always cleaning. Without whom life will barely have a meaning. No one. No one. Clever mademoiselle, brilliant mademoiselle, everything that mattered, she scattered away. Dazzling mademoiselle, in her golden shell. Life is such a merry, solitary holiday. Gone is all the love she had so much of. Never more to be, never more will she cast another spell. Through the winter night, now she dims the light from the lonely bed she made, wondering why in hell she stays always mademoiselle.
That was Katharine Hepburn from Coco at the Mark Hellinger Theater. Now, the Mark Hellinger Theater, Jennifer, has a kind of bad rap as a house of flops.
It certainly does. You know, it had My Fair Lady and Jesus Christ Superstar, but other than that, all the stories in the book and most of the productions were very short-lived.
Well, let's hear a song from Betty Comden and Adolph Green, who were the first couple you would pick to write a musical sequel to Ibsen's A Doll's House, in a show called A Doll's Life with the young Peter Gallagher, which I saw. And it was really the worst musical I ever saw. But here's one very nice song, and then we'll segue into a song from the show that closed the Mark Hellinger, right?
Yes, Legs Diamond.
Legs Diamond. But first, let's bring our legs back to Ibsen and A Doll's Life.
To you, Miss Nansen.
Nora. And, to you, Mr. Burnick.
Otto. To the herring.
To the cheese.
To the reindeer.
To the drink.
To my room. I decorated it myself.
Thank you.
stay here with me, Nora. There's so much talking still to do. We'll share our fancies and our fears as equal partners in life. Always happily aware we're a man and a woman too. I want to brush the clouds of sadness from your face and teach your troubled eyes to shine. Stay with me, Nora. I promise you, Nora, you can stay yourself if you'll only stay and be mine.
He knows what I'm feeling. I feel I could help him. He's young, sensitive, and unsure. He's a different kind of man than those I have known. An artist living for art alone.
Step right up, yowza, yowza. Nothing up my sleeve or trouser. Ain't got no heart, 'cause I'm traveling light. All I wanted was the dream. Not like anybody else. I didn't want it pushed aside, forgotten on a shelf. I wanted laughs and lots of lovers and limitless wealth for the whole world to say, you're better than anybody else. All I wanted was the time to forget about my past. I didn't know time could come and go so terribly fast. It's hard to lose it when you had it right here in your grasp. But then you wake up and it seemed the dream that you dreamed was just too good to last. All I wanted was time to forget about my past. I didn't know time could come and go so terribly fast. It's hard to lose it when you had it right here in your grasp. But then you'll wait and it seemed that dream that you dreamed was just
That was Peter Allen from the ill-fated Legs Diamond, the show that closed the Mark Hellinger Theater forever, I suppose.
So sad. We hold out hope. Just maybe someday it'll open again as a Broadway theater.
Well, all he ever wanted was a showbiz dream, but I suspect one of the dreams you wanted was to write a book about Broadway and its greatest stories.
Very true.
And so you did, dear listener. Jennifer Ashley Tepper's book, Untold Stories of Broadway. And now we're going to segue over to the Alvin, now the Neil Simon Theater. And you have a wonderful sort of transitional anecdote about something that happened at the Alvin.
Sorry, you're going to... Which one?
The one about Len Cariou.
Oh, yes, of course. So Len Cariou auditioned for Applause on the stage of the Alvin, and they kept calling him back, and he didn't understand what all these callbacks were. He was more used to the acting world than the musical theater world of so many callbacks. And finally they said, okay, we'll take you to do the show. Now, what are you doing right now? And he said, come outside, and pointed across the street, because, of course, he was starring in the show across the street, and his face and name were all over the billboards at the Virginia.
Which was Henry V. Henry V. By Shake, not an insignificant part.
Henry V.
So he got the part. He played the romantic lead opposite Lauren Bacall in Applause on stage and off, I gather.
Yes.
So here they are, two of a kind, singing One of a Kind by Strauss and Adams.
You are one of a kind, a fabulous bird. You're out of your mind and way out of sight. You're one of a kind, unique is the word. And that's why I find the others all trite. I like the weird things that happen inside of your skull. Being with you may be hard on the nerves, but it's never dull. Oh, no, never dull. You walk in a room and people all stare, cause baby, you bloom, they'd have to be blind to not recognize the rarest of rare. Right under their eyes, you're one of a kind. If there were two of you, or God forbid, a few of you, too much is what it would be. But you're one of a kind, one of a kind, one of a kind, one of a kind. And you're the kind of a woman for me. Who else would take a swim completely dressed in Central Park at 3 a.m. the night she won the Tony?
I didn't do that.
Yes, you did.
Who grabbed a Flaming Cherries Jubilee and burned a movie script at Chasen's yelling it was phony?
Was that me?
You always were a crazy kid.
I shudder at the things you did. Your ego seems to suit my id.
So kiss me!
You mad fool! You know you grind your teeth at night.
Your snoring is a real delight.
It's noisy, but we sleep all right.
You are one of a kind, a fabulous bird. You're out of your mind and way out of sight. You're one of a kind, unique is the word. And that's why I find the others all trite. At times you're selfish and stubborn and blind as a mole. But even so, you're a kick to be with. You're good for my soul, so good for my soul. You walk in a room and people all stare, cause baby, you bloom, they'd have to be blind to not recognize the rarest of rare. Right under their eyes, you're one of a kind. If there were two of you, oh, God forbid, a few of you, too much is what it would be.
But you're one of a kind, one of a kind, one of a kind, one of a kind, and you're the kind of a nut. For me.
Don't contradict me.
Don't disobey me.
Don't even think about going to that audition.
Please.
No.
Mother.
Stop.
Stop telling me what to do.
Don't.
Don't treat me like a child of two.
No.
I know that you want what's best.
Please!
But Mother, please, give it a rest!
Stop, don't, no, please, stop, don't, no, please, stop, don't, no, please,
Mama, I'm a big girl now. Once upon a time when I was just a kid, you never let me do just what the older kids did, but lose that laundry list of what you won't allow. Cause Mama, I'm a big girl now.
Oh, Tracy.
Once upon a time I used to play with toys, but now I'd rather play church, I want to take my bow. Cause mama, I'm a big girl now. Once upon a time, I used to dress up Ken. But now that I'm a woman, I like bigger men. And I don't need a Barbie doll to show me how. Cause mama, I'm a big girl now. Ooh, you always told me what was right from wrong. And now I just want to give it a try. Mama, I've been a mess for far too long. So please give a push and mama, watch me fly. Watch me fly.
Say mama, say mama.
One day I will meet a man you won't condemn. And we will have some kids and you can torture them. But let me be a star before I take that vow.
Cause mama, I'm a big girl now.
Oh, oh, oh.
Mama, I'm a big girl now.
Hey, hey, hey.
Mama, I'm a big girl.
Ooh, such a big, big girl.
I'm a big girl now. No, no, please stop. No, no.
This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and I'm here with Jennifer Ashley Tepper, who's director of programming at 54 Below and had a huge smash staging the smash version of Hit List. So, Jennifer, you're a big girl now, and that's why
you.
I picked that. But Hairspray had a big effect in the Alvin when it was Neil Simon.
Yes, of course. It certainly did. You know, I got to talk to everyone from William Ivy Long, the costume designer, to Laura Bell Bundy, who was in it. It was such a smash hit that it really changed that theater. When a theater has a show that runs for that long, it really leaves its mark on it.
Now, a show that didn't run very long, 16 performances at the Alvin, one of your favorites, one of my favorites, Merrily We Roll Along. So I know it's a show you're utterly devoted to. So why don't you set up our final song with a I don't know, an anecdote or a thought or two.
Sure. Well, you know, I interviewed a lot of people from the original cast, including Lonnie Price and Anne Morrison and Jim Walton, who you'll hear sing this song. But one of the most interesting things was what you just said was I interviewed a couple people who it really changed their life, including, very interestingly, Michael John Lacusa, who it was just the musical that changed him. And he said it made him want to write musicals that made people think and made people angry. So I thought that was very interesting and formative for him.
Well, the show certainly makes me think. It makes me angry that it closed after 16 performances. But it lives on thanks to anecdotes like yours from your book, Untold Stories of Broadway, and the cast album, which was recorded the day after it closed,
right? It was recorded the day after.
Wow. The original cast of Merrily We Roll Along, taking us out of this episode of Broadway to Main Street. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me.
Something is stirring, shifting ground, it's just begun. Edges are blurring all around, and yesterday is done. Feel the flow, hear what's happening, we're what's happening. Don't you know, we're the movers and we're the shapers. We're the names in tomorrow's papers. Up to us, man, to show 'em. It's our time, breathe it in. Worlds to change and worlds to win. Our turn coming through. Me and you. It quivers on the brink.
What?
Everything gives you the shivers, makes you think there's so much stuff to sing. And you and me will be singing it like the birds, me with music and you the words. Tell them things they don't know. Us, pal, to show 'em. It's our time, breathe it in. Worlds to change and worlds to win. Our turn, we're what's new. Me and you, pal, me and you. Feel the flow,
feel the flow.
Hear what's happening, we're what's happening.
long ago. All we had was that funny feeling, saying someday we'd send them reeling. Now it looks like we can. Someday just began.
Something is stirring, shifting ground. It's just begun. Edges are blurring all around, and yesterday is done.
Feel the flow, hear what's happening, clear what's happening. Don't you know we're the movers and we're the shakers? We're the names in tomorrow's papers. Up to us now.
The time all gone to. This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.